What have we here?
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 123. This week's show is all about the seedy underworld of Star Wars and the bounty hunter known as Bossk. As always, I am Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host Caitlin. What's up, Caitlin?
Oh, nothing too much, yeah.
Not a whole lot, not a whole lot. I'm kind of excited to talk about Bossk and really diving into some of these bounty hunters that we started to talk about. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at @rradiopodcast, leave a comment on our Facebook page, send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, or any audiobook. I think we've been talking about, Caitlin, last week we talked about listening to some other books that are not Star Wars related. I'm excited to find a new book for the drive up to Chicago in April. I know there's a couple Star Wars books coming out then, specifically Master and Apprentice, a little Qui-Gon Obi-Wan action. So I'm excited to listen to Star Wars audiobooks all the time, but I know. What are you listening to right now, Caitlin?
Actually, I'm listening to The Way of Kings, which is like over 48 hours, so it's going to take a while.
That's definitely going to take some time, but that's a good, you know. You know what I love about audiobooks is, even if you don't have time to read, and I love reading books, but with audiobooks, you can put them on in the car, like for commutes, or even like I love doing it while doing housework. Like just work cleaning up around the house and moving stuff around, because like you kind of get lost in just getting stuff done because you're listening to the story. So time goes by. Like, don't get me wrong, like I love listening to music and stuff or podcasts, and I think podcasts are similar to audiobooks in the sense that it's something you can get into and just kind of like zone into that. But audiobooks are fun, so check that out. We also have launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. There are quite a few different perks, including a Discord chat, recording studio, movie nights, and After Dark episodes. If you can't afford to support us via Patreon, that is okay. We do have merchandise available for sale. T-shirts and button packs are available on our website. It is time for the news. This week, the first bit of news is actually really interesting. It's a little bit of information about Episode 9. And it's really interesting, this information is. It ties to finding out about someone's parents. No, not Rey's parents, but Finn's parents. Last week, John Boyega sent some hardcore Star Wars fans into a bit of a tizzy of speculation when he posted a photo of his hands covered in blood on Instagram. And this is really interesting because when he shared this photo, It allowed us to kind of go a little bit further, and it suggests that we learn a little bit more about his past with everything there. So what do you think about this? One, the photo. I know we're kind of jumping ahead with some of the additional news. The photo of Finn, and what do you think of finding about Finn's actual family?
So, like, I know the description of his hands being bloody, but to me, they look more like he's been doing, like, mechanical work. Like, they look more, like, sooty and greasy with some blood. But just, like, his description of it being something visually crazy, as opposed to everything else we've seen so far, has me intrigued.
Okay, I'll take that. But I will say this, you know, it is one of those things where the speculation is he is Lando's son. And I'll say this, like, it almost seems like lazy writing if it is. But at the same time, like, it's one of those things where it would be kind of fun. You know, we do know from Force Awakens that all the First Order's troopers were taken from their parents at a young age, and then they were kind of essentially brainwashed to follow the First Order. If you look at some of the books, the canon novels that have come out, like the Phasma novel and stuff like that, you see a lot of the kids they pull are orphans, so it may not be truthful there, but it'd be kind of cool if there's a little bit more There's no reason to believe that episode 9 won't bring any backstory to Finn. You know, because right now all we have him is he's a stormtrooper and then he's not. You know, a stormtrooper with a conscience, if you will. So I'm kind of excited for seeing where Finn might come. But if you look at the photo, Caitlin, what do you think of the picture that he shared on Instagram?
They called it, like, obviously, I feel like he's been here before, so he wouldn't have posted this without permission. Fact that somebody else took this picture for him, since both hands are in the shot.
Shh, I like to pretend that he's holding the phone with his mouth, and he took the picture with his tongue.
Okay, whatever helps you sleep at night.
Well, can you just... All right. So, say this. Think of this. Think of the character Finn. Think of John Boyega. One, John Boyega is just, like, an awesome, funny sport, you know, and everything, all the interviews he does. But imagine him, like, holding the phone with, like, his chin or, like, in his mouth, trying to get a picture of these hands together, like, for Instagram. I just thought it would be really funny. But the reason why I say it looks like blood, it definitely looks like a burn, like an explosion or dust, or maybe, like you said, working. But on the left thumb, like where it bends on the knuckle there,
yeah,
it looks like some blood.
Yeah, it looks like a drop of blood.
Yeah. Now, we do know that episode 9 is going to be all out war. So I don't know. Some of this stuff, like I said, I'm kind of excited to see, you know, the picture and learning more about parentage that's not Rey's. But, you know, we'll have to have to wait.
Because even Rose, we got, commented on her past.
Yeah, we got and she got a novel. She got a full novel. Like,
yeah, and whereas Finn, like, we know he was a stormtrooper, and he, like, most of the time they are very young when they're pulled from the families, if they have any. But it wouldn't hurt if there is a story that's relevant to the telling of the last movie. I was like, what's the name? They haven't given us a name yet.
Yeah, that's, you know, we don't know. All right. Anything else about the picture for Finn, or the possibility of learning more about his parentage?
I'm on the side of, I really hope it's not Lando.
I'm hoping it's, I don't know. Like, the fanboy in me wants it to be Lando. Like, oh, it's one big happy family, because Rey is obviously not Luke's daughter, which I'm still holding out that some, like, she really... Here's the thing. I'm hoping she's, like, actually, like, Anakin. She was actually born of the Force, so, like, technically she's kind of related to Luke in a way that way. Like, that's what I'm hoping for. Like, still, like, I'm still holding something out for it. But I want somebody, like, honestly, having Kylo Ren, Ben Solo, being the only person related to, like, the original trilogy, kind of just... I don't know. It's just dumb to me. I'm like, well, whatever.
Like, well, not to say that Finn's past or his parents' past wasn't involved in the previous storyline. I'm on the side that, like, they'd have to really pull, like, come up with this awesome story for the general audience to buy or easily take in that he's Lando's son, because I feel like it is a cheap, easy way.
Like I said, it is feels like a little easy, lazy writing if they did that. But, like, the reason why I say this is, like, when you look at, like, Ben Solo, Kylo Ren, first of all, a couple things. One, he takes his father's name instead of his mother's name, right? He takes Solo instead of Organa. Especially when we learn from the Solo movies, Han gets the last name because of some Imperial officer, like, he's traveling by himself. So it's like, oh, Han Solo. So, like, the name doesn't really mean anything. It's not, like, an important name on Corellia or anything like that for him to take it. So instead of being called Ben Organa, he goes by Ben Solo. And then turns to Kylo Ren. Like, it just, the whole thing is like, okay, I get he's related. He's the daughter of Han and Leia. But it just seems kind of weak overall. Like, I feel like we need a strong character who, like, wants to represent the name of them. I don't know. Maybe that's just me and, like, my fanboyism.
So anyway, that also brings up the question, then, if he had a past and he has parents and they play into the storyline, do we find out Finn's real name?
That would be kind of cool. Yeah. Something Calrissian. That'd be nice. Anyway, moving on. So, a lot has been happening with Electronic Arts, EA, and they're once again canceling another Star Wars video game. It's really interesting. I know you're not a huge gamer, Caitlin, but Gary Whitta, the writer for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, literally goes on blast of EA and how, you know, just to quote him, if I was an EA shareholder, I'd be beeping furious. It's EA Star Wars license has been catastrophically mismanaged. So for those who don't know, EA canceled the Star Wars game by Visceral Studios a while ago. Then they were making another one, which was going to be kind of a full world exploration one, which was like a Star Wars Uncharted. That's also been canceled. So when you look at like the games that have come out for Star Wars, like a Star Wars property, you have Battlefront 1, Battlefront 2, and then a bunch of mobile games. EA had the exclusive license to Star Wars for the past, you know, since they received it, and it's a 10-year exclusivity. And you have to remember when Battlefront 2 was coming out with the whole loot box thing, you know, Lucasfilm definitely put pressure on them because of the bad press they were getting. So at this point, they just don't have any games that are coming out. They've actually pulled it and they said they're going to be, exit mid-development, and they're going to go ahead and focus on a bunch of less ambitious games, specifically mobile-based games. It's just difficult to do this when you look at like the heyday of Star Wars video games. Like I think back to like playing video games growing up. There was X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, the TIE Fighter, and those were flight simulators. There was Rebel Assault, Rebel Assault 2, Dark Forces, Jedi Knight, Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Academy. Those are just some. Then you had the Battlefront games that all came out. Like I'm just thinking of like that's 7 or 8 games that are there. Of course, then you have all like the Lego ones and everything, but like EA has literally just dropped the ball on making Star Wars games. And they've also stopped BioWare, who does make a Star Wars game right now. They manage and make Star Wars The Old Republic, which we've talked about on this show. They've made, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, Knights of the Republic 2. BioWare wanted to make another Knights of the Republic, but EA said no, because they don't want to invest that much time into making another Knights of the Old Republic game, which I think is just ridiculous considering some people say those games are the best Star Wars games they've ever had from a story standpoint as a role-playing game. Do you have any thoughts on this, Caitlin, with EA just axing another Star Wars game?
Well, and like you said, I'm not a gamer, but I would be frustrated. Especially like somewhere in the article, it points out like Star Wars is such a rich universe that they could pull from in creating games, and for them to not take full benefit of it. I don't know what their contract entails for them allowed to do games, but if it has a deadline, I would not be surprised if it was not renewed.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's gonna. I'm sure Lucasfilm is gonna go ahead and look at other developers to get games off the ground, because it really is kind of sad. Like, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, I love playing video games still. I just don't do it as much with having more responsibility in my life. Yeah. I just really don't have. I don't have time. You know, really, my daughter doesn't watch TV, so I can't have the TV on and play games like when we have the opportunity. But it is one of those things where I am a little sad that we've gotten kind of a lack of, a lack of Star Wars stuff lately.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving on. I'm kind of excited about this. Ethan Sachs and Will Sinley is going to take us to Black Spire Outpost in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge #1. So, this is a comic book that's coming out. There was actually 2 articles I linked to for us, Caitlin. One on StarWars.com where they announced it. So, Galaxy's Edge is a new comic exclusive showing a bunch of art and just kind of story that we're going to see. And the really cool thing about this, it's going to go ahead and take place on Blackspire Outpost, which is where we're going to be going to on Batuu in the new Star Wars land at Disneyland. I'm kind of excited to see what this these stories are going to give us. Like, I'm really excited for the artwork. This kind of alien here. It's an Ithorian that is... When you think of an Ithorian, you think of kind of what you've seen in the movies. This Ithorian has got like kind of like a almost like an Indian feel to it. He's got like face paint on. He's got leather outfit. He's got like teeth chimes and stuff like teeth, you know, teeth jewelry on it. I'm kind of stoked because I feel like this is some of the characters we're going to see walking around in Galaxy's Edge when you go to the park. What do you think about this, Caitlin?
He also has, I'm studying what he's wearing. He also has something under his left arm. Like, I think it's, like, attached to him, but I can't tell if it's a, like, droid, which he has flying over his shoulder to begin with, or if it's something else.
Yeah, it looks almost like a pack. Like, it looks like it's, like, wrapped up with ropes or something like that.
Well, on one side, and then the other side, it has straps that's...
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a piece of machinery. Anyway.
Yeah, but the cool part is, so the writers of this, who write this, they've written the Star Wars or the Marvel Star Wars story, focusing on Mace Windu and Star Wars Age of the Republic specials, and they've brought in this. And the really cool part is they actually worked with Disney Imagineers. So the story takes place on Batuu at Blackspire Outpost, a place we'll get to visit later, and they were able to really approach. Adding to this vibrant remote black marketplace with all they were able to get from the top secret sketches from Walt Disney's Imagineering and Lucasfilm. The really cool thing is they were able to go ahead and tie story that fits directly into the storyline that we'll see, but they can't tell us about that because obviously it's not released yet at Disney. But just seeing some of the artwork that's come from it and this new comic coming out, I'm excited. It's going to be one of five.
It gives the land more dimension.
It really will. It really will. The fact that you'll have like a whole backstory for the land. I fully expect these comics to come out soonish. You know, they don't give us a date for it, but they have announced them. We do know that they'll have five issues, and Galaxy's Edge 1 is going to be the first one that we have the cover for that's been released. But the comics should be out sometime in April. They don't give us an exact date. So, like I said, soonish. So, I fully expect them all to come out April, May, and then June we'll have the park open in Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of comics, there's another comic coming out that I'm extremely excited for. This comic also ties into our book, The Alphabet Squadron. So, if you've... If you listened to us before, we've talked about Alphabet Squadron a little bit here in the on the show, but the new comic is Marvel's TIE Fighter series. The really cool part about this is Marvel and Del Rey. Del Rey is the publishing company who does the Star Wars books, are partnering together to tell a single story. So the TIE Fighter comic is actually going to follow the perspective of the same events in Alphabet Squadron, but from the Empire's perspective. Whereas Alphabet Squadron is going to follow their own set, but from obviously the Rebellion side. So the crossover is going to take place after Return of the Jedi, and it follows the brutal brutal fallout during the fall of the Empire from both sides of the battle. For Alphabet Squadron, we talked about it, how it's a bunch of Rebellion pilots all in the different types of ships, the A-Wing, the X-Wing, the B-Wing, Y-Wing, U-Wing, together. And that is actually the Alphabet Squadron novel that we've gotten the final cover art for it, but the novel is actually part of a trilogy, so we're going to get three books from the Alexander Freed following kind of this post-Return of the Jedi kind of storyline, which I'm really excited for because I know we had kind of post-Return of the Jedi in the Aftermath series, which did lead up all the way to the Battle of Jakku, but these are going to go into all the skirmishes before with the fallout of the Empire, and TIE Fighter is going to give us the TIE Fighter perspective, the Empire perspective. I will say, what do you think of the artwork from the TIE Fighter issue 1?
Both artworks are amazing. But, yeah. Like, just the fact that, like, you can see Now, I don't know how realistic it is, but the reflection in the pilot's, goggles or view.
The lenses, the helmet lenses.
And then even in the background, there's all this dramatic action happening behind the pilot.
Oh, yeah. No, the TIE Fighter, I'm really excited for it because, one, I love comics as a medium to tell a story because they tell a story really quick. There's always action with it. And this just looks beautiful already. Like, the artwork looks amazing in Star Wars TIE Fighter. It's going to be a Marvel miniseries, so it should only be about 5 episodes or so. But it's going to follow a group called Shadow Wing. And they are assembled to protect Imperial interests. And obviously, like I mentioned, Alphabet Squadron is going to be a trilogy, which was just announced, and it's going to show the same battles that the other ones are going to follow. I'm wondering if Shadow Squadron or TIE Fighter is only going to cover the first book, and the other books will get their own Marvel series, or if they'll just be, that was kind of it. But the really cool thing is, it's going to be done by the same artist that did the most recent Darth Vader comic strip. So it is something going to have that great artwork that that we've seen before. Anything else about Alphabet Squadron or Star Wars TIE Fighter?
No.
No? Okay. So, we've talked about Star Wars Celebration 2019 Chicago coming up in April. Quite a bit here, but we've gotten some more information about it. We have Chewbacca Jonas showing up. He's going to be there at Celebration. So make sure if you are going, make sure you get a chance to see him, get in line, get an autograph, get a photo with him. I think I'm going to see if I can, because he's pretty darn tall. We also have Sam Witwer, who's
a selfie would be interesting.
A selfie would be it. It would be like the top of your head and like him, or it'd be like you and his waist. You know, so it might be interesting to do that. Like, you'd have to do like 2 selfies, a selfie of him, and then continue down in a selfie of you, and like put them together. I don't know. I thought it'd be kind of funny. But also, Sam Witwer is going to be there. I'm really excited to see Sam Witwer at Celebration. For those who don't know Sam Witwer, he, unlike Chewbacca, he was just the voice of Darth Maul in both Star Wars Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels. And most recently, he voiced Ray Park's performance of Maul in Solo, A Star Wars Story. So even though he didn't portray Maul in live action, he is the voice of pretty much all the dialogue that Darth Maul has had in the Star Wars universe. So I'm excited for him to be there. We'll also have Greg Gumberg, Greg Proops, Dave Chapman, and many more showing up. So I'm kind of excited to be able to see all these people here. Any thoughts on the people showing up?
It's cool for those who get to meet them while I sit in the north.
And freeze. Now, they have also released a new poster for Star Wars Celebration 2019. I will say I am always a fan of the artwork that comes out of Star Wars Celebrations. Some of my favorite artwork came from Celebration 3, which was for Revenge of the Sith, and it encompassed all the art, you know, all the characters we got from Episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, just all those characters. The newest poster for Celebration covers all 3 trilogies, from the prequels, the original trilogy, and now characters from the sequel trilogy. What do you think of this poster artwork?
One, it's pretty cool, but I also find, like, I was looking at it, and I'm like, okay, yeah. And then I noticed Obi-Wan isn't, like, they have, like, Luke, Leia, and Han as they were in the original trilogy, but they have Obi-Wan as he was in the prequels.
Mm-hmm. They have General Kenobi there. Well, and you gotta remember, like, but otherwise, like, who would you put from the prequels in there? Like, the big characters in the prequels were, like, Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Well, they have Queen Amidala in there.
Exactly.
And you have Darth Maul. And they actually have Grievous for light side,
like, you have Queen Amidala, and that's kind of it. Whereas in the prequels, you have General Grievous, Count Dooku, and Darth Maul in there. So they needed to go ahead and have some additional non-trilogy people. Like, I'm glad they used Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan. Plus, then you get to see like him holding a lightsaber defensively, because when you look at the dark side of it, you have... So, to give you guys an idea, if you haven't seen this, and I'll post it on our website, or I'll post it on Twitter, at the top of the poster is Luke and Vader, half-face, you know, with the lightsaber coming up and kind of separating them. Then it goes to Leia on the left, with Luke, Chewbacca, Han, kind of an iconic poses, all from the original trilogy, along with Lando Calrissian. Then, the only characters you have from the prequel trilogy on the light side is General Kenobi from episode... Looks like it's probably episode 2, because he's not wearing the darker robes that he would have had in episode 3. So it looks like General Kenobi, and then you have Queen Amidala. On the right side, you have Vader, and then you have Palpatine from like the original trilogy. And then there's further down, there's Boba Fett, probably at the same level as, I would say, Lando. But then you have Darth Tyrannus, or which is Count Dooku, Darth Maul, General
Phasma?
Phasma's from the new trilogy. But then you have Then you have General Grievous. So you have three prequel characters. So they have to at least add another prequel character for the light side. Even though, you know, and I don't think adding an Anakin would make sense considering Vader's already on there. But overall, I feel like the balance of the characters is really good. I really do like it. I like how you have Amidala and Yoda up front, kind of in the middle. Especially since Amidala is in between the two, but she's kind of picking up the red because of her classic known red outfit from when she was the queen in episode 1. The only character missing that I'm surprised is not in here. So we have like all the major characters, like you mentioned, Phasma, Boba Fett. We have a random stormtrooper, Kylo Ren, and Rey. We don't have C-3PO or BB-8. We have R2-D2. But we don't have C-3PO or BB-8, which I'm okay with no Poe. I'm okay since there's Finn on there from like the new ones. When you look at like there's only Kylo Ren and Phasma from the new trilogy. There's no Snoke or anything like that. But I'm surprised that there's no BB-8 and C-3PO. But overall, like I like the poster, I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna link it in our Discord for all of our Patreon members to see so they can follow along as we go. But yes, we have Celebration coming up in April. I will be there. And if you're going to be there, let us know on Twitter and maybe we can meet up and hang out. Anyway, it is time for our spotlight topic, Caitlin. The bounty hunter known as Bossk. So one of my favorite things about Bossk, before we jump into it, is he's a Trandoshan. And I used to play the Star Wars video game. See, I'm talking about Star Wars video games here. I used to play the Star Wars video game, Star Wars Knights of the Old Star Wars The Old Republic, which is the MMO that's still actually going on. I just don't play it anymore. Don't have time. But you used to be able to get a companion who was Kaizen Fess, who was also a Trandoshan, and he was one of the best companions ever. He was not, I don't want to say simple-minded, but he was such an honorable character, and it was all for the great hunt, because he was this like epic hunter slash warrior character. And I imagine, as I thought of Bossk, because we were talking about like doing him as our spotlight topic, as I thought of Bossk and kind of thought about the things we know about him, it kind of makes sense. And you know, like that he used his hunter, especially when you consider that like he's the son of Cardosek, who is known for hunting Wookiees. Like, it really feels like that's who Bossk would be. Like, even though he's a bounty hunter, he's the great hunter. He's just decided to, instead of like hunting for honor, he now hunts for money. So that makes sense.
I don't know if it's in legends versus canon, but apparently the Trandoshans, in their religion, when they die, they meet like the scorekeeper, and go ahead.
That's exactly it. So, like when you play the Star Wars video game, he's constantly talking about the scorekeeper, and but again, that's legend. So I don't want to dive too far into the idea of the Trandoshan like religion and the scorekeeper for the Great Hunt and everything.
But so it just I was just going to say, like, it explains why we see multiple Trandoshan characters interested in the hunt.
No, I agree. It does make sense. And I would love for them to... Well, we'll get to this. I want to see I want to see Boss make it back into more Star Wars. He has been in a couple things. So, Bosk, we probably know him similar to we know when we talked about IG-88. Bosk was one of the bounty hunters aboard the Executor in Empire Strikes Back. He was one of the bounty hunters hired to try to find the Millennium Falcon, just like IG-88 and his companions. And that's kind of it. When it comes to the original trilogy, that is pretty much it that we have with Bosk. There's not much more from him. He does show up in a bunch of the EU stuff, and that's kind of it. Now, other things that Bosk has shown up in and stuff we've learned about it. Bosk has a his own ship, kind of like Slave One. It's called the Hound's Tooth, which is basically his main transport, which allows him to do his trade as a bounty hunter. But we actually saw Bosk show up in the Clone Wars series. So Star Wars The Clone Wars. And the really cool part about this is you got to see him as a mentor to young Boba Fett. So it was Bosk, Boba Fett, Aurora Singh, and Cad Bane are all together as they go through and kind of teach Boba Fett the trade of bounty hunting. Obviously, Boba Fett probably doesn't need much help considering he's a direct clone of his father and he has been being taught the ways of being a Mandalorian and a bounty hunter his whole life. But I will say it is something kind of fun to see that there's like this little history before the film in it. So Bosk and Boba Fett have a strong relationship, at least in the early part, so much so that there's parts in the Clone Wars series where if you have a problem with Boba Fett, you have he says, if you have a problem with Boba Fett, you have a problem with me. Any thoughts on the Trandoshan parental feeling, or just kind of you think is more honor and friendship?
Maybe column A and column B. Again, some of the digging I did is probably more on the EU, but like Bosk definitely has like a history with his own father. Mm-hmm. So maybe that kind of played into his relation with Boba Fett. Because there's other situations where we've seen him with young characters and how he interacts with them. So this is not just like a one-time thing. He's kind of like this, not so much like if you have a problem with this one, you have to back me, but the fact that he's teamed up with, I wouldn't say children, but like teenagers or preteens, and kind of like he had no problem working with somebody much younger with him and developing that kind of, we'll say, partnership.
Okay. That makes sense. Especially when you see, like, early on, at least young Boba Fett, when Boba Fett was captured and he escapes from prison, Boba forms his own syndicate of bounty hunters, which is after Bosk had already previously worked with him on Tatooine specifically. And this syndicate that Boba creates is joined by not only Bosk, but also Dengar, another bounty hunter, which we'll probably be talking about next week. C21, and Okeed are all like bounty hunters that are part of it. Now, we don't really know more about the other two, Okeed and C21, as bounty hunters, but we do know more about Dengar and obviously Bosk, having been in Return of the Jedi or Empire Strikes Back. I will say, with Bosk being the character is, he's had run-ins with lots of people from lots of different areas. He was also in the novel for Star Wars Rebels, which was the Ezra's gamble. And in this one, this is post, you know, post prequel era, and right before A New Hope, when he's on Lothal, when Ezra's there, and he meets Ezra on a bus, essentially. They're traveling. So it is one of those things where Bosk and Ezra actually team up to complete, you know, to complete what they're trying to do. Any thoughts on Bosk and Ezra working together on the Moend outpost?
Yeah, so this kind of plays into what I was referring with Bosk's, I guess, I don't know if you'd call him like paternal relationship slash partnership with Baba, but then like, because most people, like, if it's a younger person, they just kind of dismiss them, but he immediately sees like the benefit of like hiring or teaming up with Ezra and has no problem doing it. Now he kind of keeps his word and kind of cheats him at the same time, but I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less from a bounty hunter anyway.
Yeah, I think Bosk's personality is one of that's interesting in the sense that he's honorable, and I think he's honorable because of his species, and I think they've been portrayed that way regardless of it being part of the EU or canon. But he's still a bounty hunter, so he still looks out for himself.
Yeah. Well, and it's like him first and then partnerships. Because even like with his history of his own family, like he doesn't let his family get in the way of what he wants.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's him first, which is him being a bounty hunter, but then his own, like, moral code, if you will, is there. Whereas, like, when we talked about IG-88 is a killing machine. He's an assassin droid turned bounty hunter, and he enjoys killing. Like, there's not really a moral code for IG-88, whereas I can see Bosk working for or being someone we would root for in a TV series.
So unless he's hunting Wookiees.
Unless he's hunting Wookiees. And even then, you know, I've never met a Wookiee I didn't like, but you know, I also like Bosk, so we'll have to see. He's not hunting he's not hunting Chewbacca, so we'll have to see.
Right.
But right. I will say
I thought he had a history of he had a grudge against Chewbacca and Han Solo.
Oh, he does. Pretty much every bounty hunter has a grudge against Han and Chewie. Like, that's just a given. Like, that's just how it is. He's not hunting Chewbacca now. I will say, I'm kind of excited to see Bosk make an appearance in The Mandalorian. It hasn't been confirmed, but it has been said that there are a lot of bounty hunters that we know will show up in The Mandalorian. I can't imagine Bosk not being one of the characters that show up. The reason why is I totally expect Bosk to be a CGI character. Kind of like, and the only reason why I bring it up is because we know the CGI they're going to use is the same CGI they used in Solo to make Rio. Mainly because Jon Favreau played the character of Rio and he said once he used that CGI, once he was exposed to that, he was really excited to use it on a television show. So I fully expect them to do characters like Bosk and having an actor portray him on a television show. And I just can't wait to see how they develop and kind of expand his character. Just because, like you said, we do know some of his traits. Like, he is out for himself, but he's also kind of honorable because of his species. He almost reminds me. I'm trying to think of I would say he reminds me of, just to put it like in the terms of the Marvel Universe, kind of reminds me of Drax the Destroyer from Guardians of the Galaxy type character. Like, he obviously cares about himself, but like he could easily be set up to like care and like care about other people, especially when you think that like he joined the Boba Fett syndicate. He helped like Cad Bane and Aurora Singh kind of like teach him the ropes early on. So I feel like he wouldn't be just like, I'm a bounty hunter on my own and solo. Like, he's all good for, like, teaming up and working with others. Like, a pack, if you will. not to say that like his species runs in packs, but like I feel like that's kind of the mentality, and I feel like he'd be someone I'd root for, even though like bounty hunters are not good guys. I'm putting this in air quotes. You know, it's a from a certain point of view, they will be, I'm sure, in the Mandalorian series. So I'm just kind of excited to see Boss make an appearance in somewhere along those lines.
And not to quote Transylvania Hotel, but like, just because I'm bad guy doesn't mean I'm bad guy.
That's exactly it. Like you know, it's kind of like even in Ralph, you know, Wreck-It Ralph, like, you know, just because they're the villain doesn't mean that they're a bad guy. You know, that's the same thing. You know, just because they're a bad guy doesn't mean they're a bad guy there either. Anyway. So Bossk is ruthless and efficient as a bounty hunter who has upheld the bounty hunter code. And he's worked with lots of different people. He does carry a mortar rifle, has his own freighter. Yeah, that's pretty much it about Voss that we know. He has been in a slew of different Clone Wars episodes. That's probably where we see him the most. In Bounty, when he comes back with Boba Fett, and then Death Trap, R2 Come Home, and Lethal Takedown are probably the ones that pop to mind that he showed up in the first one. And apparently, I'm also looking at this, in Kasdan's early drafts, Boss was part of the Cloud Riders and served in Enfys Nest, second in command. And apparently, it was only set to abandon her at the end of the film. But nice. Apparently, yeah, so that was actually Kasdan fought to keep that scene, but he was overruled in the end. And I don't know if that is because the inclusion of Maul, and they didn't want to include too much. But I can definitely see, you know, when we think about Solo as a film, you know, the Cloud Riders, we learn, is the early bud, you know, beginnings of a rebellion, right? You know, we see in Star Wars Rebels, there's lots of different rebel groups. They're not kind of firmed as the Rebel Alliance until we get that moment in Star Wars Rebels where all the different rebel cells come together. So the Cloud Riders from Enfys Nest, I can see Boss like joining up, because even though he's a bounty hunter early on before Solo, the Solo film, and he's a bounty hunter in Empire Strikes Back, he does have his own set of, he does have his own moral code. And I can see him working with a group again, not necessarily for bounties, but, you know, they're still making money, they're stealing from the Empire, you know, stuff like that. And I can see him doing that until it doesn't align with him and his needs. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, definitely. He's opportunistic.
Definitely. My only concern is, this came from John Kasdan directly on Twitter, and we don't have a reason who overruled him of keeping the scene in. My thoughts is that this could be canon-ish. It may show up later on, or it could be something that the story group just kind of said, nope, and they lost it. So
I don't know at that time, because at one point they were considering making more Han Solo movies, so maybe maybe we should add this as part of a plot of the second, or however long they've, like, whatever portion of the series they planned on doing it. And then then Disney kind of went, maybe we need to pull back. Then they lost the chance to explore that idea.
We also don't know if there's not going to be a more Solo films. They haven't said no. They haven't said yes. Mm-hmm. They never announced. So, you know, Solo definitely ends with the possibility of doing more films, but they never said they were going to do a second Solo film. It definitely feels like they set it up for it, and they haven't said they are or they aren't. We'll just have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on Bossk, our Trandoshan bounty hunter?
Nope.
Nope. Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at our radio podcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. And as always, I'm Mikey B.
And I'm Caitlin.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.